Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
You know, Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Damn it, Oscars. Every year, me and Carl... Say hello, Carl.
Hello, Steve. Thank you for having me on.
We pray. We pray on our fucking knees. Didn't I have you, like, pray 24 hours before the Oscars nominations come out that they wouldn't fuck it up and we would not need to do this show?
We're going to do this every year. You know that, Steve. Come on.
Yeah, but still, I had hope. That's why I had you out there praying with the prayer beads and just everything we could that you would not fuck it up.
You know, I did my rosaries, I did my tulip wreaths, I did my even my phlox wreaths, but no, didn't work.
Yeah, we even sent over a couple of choir boys to the Catholic priest. That's how desperate
no,
we were.
No, we did not. No, that goes too far, please. No,
hey,
we did
it's a
not.
Good joke. But yeah, I mean, this has been such a disaster in the making that the car crashed 2 months ago. 2 months ago. When they had Kevin Hart on there and some posts that he did way back in the day. 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Am I right to really go back that far?
Oh, yeah. We,
on Twitter?
Yep. It was like 2013, I think, 5 years ago.
Yeah. And he said something stupid.
Well, he did some bad homophobic jokes.
Yeah. It isn't that it's a bad homophobic joke, it's that. It's a bad homophobic joke that was written in stone and still is in Twitter, or a hacker could get it in a fucking heartbeat.
And it wasn't funny either.
Oh, it wasn't funny. No.
No, it wasn't funny.
That has been my favorite thing Lenny Bruce ever said, Carl.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You can joke about anything, but it has to be funny.
Yeah, it has to be funny. But still, that knocked him out of hosting the Oscars. He quit. And no one would touch it after that.
Nope.
After all these years of motherfuckers fighting for that slot, this year, like, oh, fuck that. Don't put that evil on me. I ain't going near that motherfucker. No.
Well, you know what?
Hell, it was so bad. They invited me and Carl to do it last week, and we said, hell no. We ain't touching that shit.
No. I was trying to convince him to get Paul Giamatti. But, you know, someone safe who was still a little quirky, you know, actor. But, no, they'd rather not have anyone. And to be honest, you've said this many times. What, in your mind, the best Oscar presentation ever if we were to design it correctly. Remember Billy Crystal
said we would cut out the host, cut out the song part. We would have them do it like the Grammys do, like a big 10, 15-minute beautiful little orchestration. Song, half song, tag in, half song, tag in, half song, tag in.
Yeah.
And it always flows beautifully. And it would give these guys, I mean, I forget who said it, but I do agree with you. They was trying to cut them off their Oscar, and they, wasn't it Julia Roberts?
I forget who it was, to be honest. I'm not watching the Oscar.
Fuck you, this may be my only time I'll ever be up here, so let me be.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know,
I mean,
the whole
if you're going to get MVP, they should let you talk as long as you want within reason.
Yeah.
5 minutes within reason.
Okay, so Billy Crystal said many, many years ago what he thought would be the perfect Oscars. Come out with a shopping cart of Oscars and say, you know, and throw them out. Okay, this is for that. Here, it's yours. And just take care of it. You know, the one thing that I hope, without an Oscar host, that we get rid of a lot of this pomposity and fake camaraderie and jokes and that aren't funny. I hope it streamlines like crazy. It's not going to.
Yeah, it needs to be streamlined. Look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Carl. It's always 3 hours. At the most, 3 hours and 30 minutes. You get them talking 20 minutes to about the artist. You get the artist come up and he speaks about 10 to 20 minutes. They do 2-3 fucking songs.
Yeah.
And it never runs over 3 hours.
You know, it's... I don't know. There's just so much pomposity, and it's not funny anymore. I mean, I go back to the Johnny Carson days and the Bob Hope days, and they were good. They kept it moving. They were funny. Boom, 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 boom. Even going back to the Billy Crystal days. But after that, man, it's gone downhill.
Oh, God, yeah. I think, was it like almost 5 hours last year?
No, that was 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah,
2 years
started
ago,
at 9
like five,
and ended
five.
About 1 a.m. in the fucking morning.
Yeah. And then there's all that pre-Oscar bullshit, too. You know, do I care what they're fucking wearing? No. Do I care to hear them say, what are your chances? What are your chances? You know, who the fuck cares? Just do the awards, let them speak, move on.
Yeah, and I mean, really, I don't care what they're wearing. Last year, they stopped the show for 20 minutes so the fucking host could walk over to a theater next door that's showing a sneak preview of a Disney movie, and then they could hand out popcorn. That was a 10-minute bit. There were no jokes. It was just, here, have some popcorn, enjoy. Thank you. It's our 40 Oscars.
Oh, please.
And it had one of my favorite Kevin Spacey moments ever. How they flash the stars in the audience?
Yep.
It flashed to him, and he had the, what the fuck is this bullshit look on his face.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really paid attention to the Oscars in at least 10 years. Not the televised portion of it. I always look at who gets nominated. I always have a couple people I think, you know, that I'm always rooting for. And, of course, one of the reasons for this podcast is there are several people and things that have been left out that we're going to bitch about beyond fucking belief.
But that being said,
on our best friend, we're going to bitch at them too. Don't worry, we haven't forgot you, documentaries.
Oh man, don't even get me fucking started with that.
Yeah. You know, guess how long the first Oscars ran, Carl?
It was over lunch.
Yeah, it was 1 hour, 15 minutes, and then they had a great steak dinner at that place.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, that's in the 1929.
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't have all the, you know, they didn't have all the special effects awards and shit like that that we do now, the technical stuff. But yeah, it was like an hour.
I blame the 80s. I like 80s stuff, but the 80s was when you really start seeing pomposity snuck in.
Yeah.
Like, let's compare Wings and Paul McCartney just walking on stage. There's their instruments. They did Live and Let Die. No big effects, no nothing. They just played the damn song and they got off the stage.
Right.
And compare it to this pomposity like Let It Go from Frozen, where they had ice skaters on stage. Plastic snow falling. 20 or so dancers. Why?
Well, again, it's this, you know, we're putting on a show and we can out Broadway and all this bullshit, right? I've never been for that. And I'll tell you what even gets me more than, you know, the best songs are the opening numbers. The opening numbers are just fucking awful and have been for years. Rob Lowe and Snow White. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, I mean, Billy Crystal never did that opening. No, he did it one year to make fun of it, but that was it.
Yeah, well, what was the one a year or two ago? I Can See Your Boobs.
The worst I can think of is the one with Rob Lowe.
Well, that was really bad, but they had one a couple of years ago that was really bad. I Can See Your Boobs, you know, like, you know, all about female nudity.
Oh, Ricky Jarvis.
Like, yeah. It was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Really? Ugh. So we're here talking about the nominations.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. Don't worry, we're going for the Razzies, too. We're in a... We're going to skip all the technical awards, because honestly, they should be their own show and bring back the Governor's Ball winner, damn it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
And we're going to start it with Best Adapted Screenplay. A Star Is Born, Eric Roth, Will Fetters, and Bradley Cooper. Why? That is such a hoary old chestnut that why would they need to rewrite it?
Every version I've seen
have the same beats.
Well, let's just talk about the idea of the Oscars celebrating themselves in movies. Okay, because let's face it, one of the things we're going to get into, as we always do, is they play it safe. And so it's all about, you know, putting them on a pedestal. So you've got a screenplay, A Star Is Born, which has been done three times under that title and one time under another title. The Kenneth Gaynor one is another title. I can't remember it. But yeah, it's an old chestnut, and it's like, ooh, look, we can do this again. Why? Now,
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. I can't say how good it is, how bad
it
is.
We've probably seen it two or three times before.
Oh, true. But yeah, really? Really? Okay.
And the second is The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Joe Coyne and Ethan Coyne. And that one's actually pretty goddamn good. I can't think of many other Western anthologies that starts with a singing cowboy, has Tom Waits as a freaking
gold miner,
prospector. I mean, it's just fun, and it's another one of their better scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is The Black Klansman, Charlie Wachtel, David Rabowitz, Kevin Wilmot, and Spike Lee. That one I've got no problem with it.
No, no. And I hear it's a very, very good film. and, of course, based on a real-life incident. You know, certainly not 100%, you know, true to the story, but nonetheless.
You can't make up anything that stupid.
Yeah. True.
And number three is one whose title pisses me off because it's grammatically incorrect. If Beale Street Could Talk, Barry Jenkins. I don't know no motherfucking Beale Street, do you?
Oh, yeah.
There's one in Knowledge.
Not as a person, but what? Okay,
Street.
So the whole thing about that, it's based on a James Baldwin book. Now, if you remember, last year, one of the documentaries that they didn't nominate was, you know, the James Baldwin documentary, The Negro. I can't remember the name of it right now. But it's based on
Negro.
I Am Not Your Negro. Thank you. And it's based on a book by him. And it's supposed to be extremely good. Of course, it is a black filmmaker and a black screenwriter. And I think, to be honest, this is the dark horse. I think this is the dark horse of this. I think this may win. That's just gut feeling.
And the last is Can You Ever Forgive Me? Which actually sounds interesting. It's got Melissa McCarthy, and she played that woman who was going around in the 60s and 70s who was forging letters from Dorothy Parker and other famous people and making a mint off of it.
It sounds really, really good. And I must say this. When we get the best actress, I'll say what I have to say about her, okay? But I hear it's a good film. I've not seen any of these, so forgive me.
Yeah. Well, and it brings up one of my more annoying complaints. Why is it that whenever you see a comedian or someone take a stretch outside their niche, they do fucking good? But they only do it once. Why? Only once. If you can play the fucking drums, don't play them just once.
Did you ever see St. Vincent? The one with her and Bill Murray?
Yeah.
She was really good in that. So was Murray. I like her. I do like her.
Okay, but who do you think's going to win out of that batch? Me, I say the Black Klansman will win it.
I to be honest, it's going to be Stars Born. But I think the real dark horse is If Beale Street Could Talk. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if my guesses are wrong, if Carl's guesses are better than mine, first tip people who get in touch with me, I'll send you out a copy of the new holiday issue of Wings.
Oh, what if yours is better than mine?
Nobody gets shit.
Okay, I'm writing this down. I'm fucking writing this down. You're on. You're on.
Okay,
hold on. Hold on. You say Black Klansman.
Yeah.
Klansman. I say Star Is Born.
Okay? Yeah.
Go. Next.
And next we're on Best Original Screenplay. Number one is The Favorite, which I could see somebody like me voting it because I'm going to be an asshole because it's titled The Favorite.
Right.
So The Favorite win. But honestly, it's your another bodice ripper, lesbian ass melodrama from the Victorian age.
Uh-huh.
Seen it, saw the movie, wrote the book, peeked inside the window at a couple of lesbians, got shot at with a shotgun, you know the deal.
Well, let me tell you something. You are talking about Yorgos Lanthimos. The man.
Yeah, but he didn't write the script.
No, he didn't write the script, but he can pick a script too. And this I think would be my second choice. I'm gonna go. Okay, first off, I have to say something.
Let's go through all of them first.
Okay, fine.
And the
second one,
I don't think should win because it would piss Carl off, and that's First Reform by Paul Schrader.
Fuck you, that's the one I'm picking. I think they'll finally give him something.
The damn thing is nominated.
What? Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
It's got teeth.
Yeah. We'll get to that. When we get to actor and actress, I'm going to go off, okay? Just trust me on that.
Okay, here's the one I think will win. And just because I'm predicting sort of a sweep on this, and that's Green Book with Nick Villona, Brian Hayes, Keira Curry, and Peter Farrelly.
Okay, so that's the one you think is... That's the one you're going to pick then, Green Room, as the winner, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And here's the dark horse, Alfonso Cuarón with Roma.
I think that's going to win actress. I don't think it's going
to
win screenplay.
Wait, we'll get to that when we get to the subject. But, yeah,
right.
And the other one is Vice by Adam McKay, which we'll get into it when we get the chance. I consider it just nothing but a hit piece. Here's Best Supporting Actor.
No. Hold on.
Say my pick last.
Hold on. Do we want to, bitch about what isn't there? Now?
What are you going to bitch about? What isn't there?
Okay. You know what the best fucking screenplay of the whole year was? For
what?
Me? No question.
What?
Sorry to Bother You. Why that isn't nominated, I don't fucking know.
That one didn't get nominated for Jack and Shit. Let me see.
Something. No, of course it's not going to either. It's they'll do something really safe like Green Book. But, when it's angry, hell no. That's why I'm surprised if Beale Street Could Talk is there. Black Klansman, to me, seems to be more safe. But Sorry to Bother You, not fucking nominated. Mandy, not nominated.
Yeah. Okay, here's a joke time and a spoiler, so if you haven't seen Sorry for Bothering You, close your ears right now. You know why they didn't nominate it for anything?
Why?
They're afraid of black men with horse cocks.
I love that movie. I just saw it a couple of weeks ago, and my mouth hit the floor. Now the critical reaction, my friends, and that a lot of white people don't like that movie.
Yeah,
and
I wonder why. But yeah, and moving on to Best Supporting Actor.
Okay,
Marshall Ali Yeah, supporting actor. Michelle Ali for Green Book.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Driver for The Black Klansman. And I heard he's good in that.
Mm-hmm.
Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me? If my pick don't win, I want Richard E. Grant to win because it's Richard E. fucking Grant.
Exactly. I'm with you on this. We're going to... Okay, keep going.
Sam Rockwell for Vice.
Okay. He won last year,
so I'm
okay.
And the winner for his magnificent portrayal of an old man who lives with nothing but his regrets and the man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot. Oh, I mean, fuck, sorry. I mean, A Star Is Born is Sam Elliott.
Well, you know, I'm with you on this. You're picking Sam Elliott, right?
Yeah.
So am I.
And it's another one of those he could thank the directors of the man who killed Hitler.
Right. Can also thank Douglas Trumbo for that. But that's okay. Elliot, I think this is one of those times where they're just going to say, fuck it, it's Sam Elliott. Now, the thing is, they could also do that with Richard E. Grant. Okay?
I would not have any problem.
No, I wouldn't either.
Because he was robbed with Nell and I, goddammit.
Oh, was he even fucking nominated for that? I don't think he was.
No, that's why I say he was robbed.
Yeah, that's not robbing, that's like... robbing is if you're nominated and they don't give it to you. Not even fucking nominated. Really?
And now let's talk about me and Carl's biggest bitch for not being nominated in Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
When First Reform came out, the first couple of weeks, it was all focused on Ethan Hawke and his amazing performance. But once the reviews started getting out, what actor did they start focusing the advertising on?
That would be Cedric the Entertainer.
Hater.
And now he
Jesus
does it under his
God,
own name.
Is fucking good.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he should be nominated. Without a doubt.
Yeah, he is that damn good as the... Ethan Hawke portrays, like, the old-school guy.
Right.
And Cedric is the new-school religious guy who believes that you got to entertain them to get in, you know.
Right. Exactly. It's a really, really good performance. And it's a real stretch for him, and he does a great job. Paul Schrader... talks about, you know, that's who he wanted from the get-go for the part, and he had to convince the producers, and trust me, he came in for an audition, he nailed it, and Trader said that's him, and he's really good. He should absolutely be there, and I will say this, I love Sam Rockwell. I adore the man. He won last year. Nix him off and put Cedric the Entertainer in there.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Now on the Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams in Vice, Maria del Tavira, Roma, Regina King in If Beale Street Could Talk, Emma Stone, The Favorite, Rachel Weisz, The Favorite. Well, you can automatically knock off Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz because they cancel each other's vote out.
No, see, I disagree. It's going to be one of those two. I don't know which one, but it's going to be one
you
of those two.
You don't understand what I'm saying. That's the problem. You would have to vote for one of them. So instead of focusing on one, which would get, let's say me and you both love this movie. And there's a chance we'd vote different, and they would get one vote each. But if they focused on one of them, They would get two votes.
Right. And I know that.
Bullshit,
but I still say that none of the other films are that strong in this thing.
And everybody is
saying that it's between those two. Absolutely between those two. Now, which one? I'm not sure.
Yeah, like I said, I'm just betting on them canceling each other out, like usually happens when they screw up and put two and that did that, you know.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But the other three aren't that strong.
Oh, God.
If anyone's going to get it other than White or Stone, it's going to be Regina King.
Yeah. Well, just put that one down in the list as the favorite versus none for the favorite.
Okay, so you're saying none for the favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, not favorite, and I'm saying favorite. Okay, fine. You can move that out. Okay, cool.
And if you say we're cheating, lift your middle finger, Carl. Fuck you.
You get a 3-2 chance. You have the better odds.
No, I'm just saying if people say we're cheating by this pick, well, what do you just say? Fuck
no,
you.
No,
this
we're
is
not.
Pick.
We're not.
No. And now for Best Actor, Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, William Dafoe for Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek for playing a straight guy who sung the lead of Queen and not Freddie Mercury, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book.
Okay, who's missing? Come on, we both know this.
The other half of First Reformed, Ethan Hawke.
Oh, I would say someone else, too.
Who?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but there's no way in hell he'd get nominated for Mandy. No way in hell.
I don't care. Should he be nominated for Mandy, yes or no? In your mind,
honestly,
should he be nominated?
No. Honestly, no, because it's just too weird. We'll get into what he should be nominated for, God damn it.
Okay.
What
but
Mandy
you know
should
what?
Be nominated for, but the Oscars are fucking prick dogs from hell.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. Ethan Hawke not being there is a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Seriously. Ethan Hawke should be there. No. I really like First Reformed. I don't think it's perfect, but he's magnificent. And the problem is it's always the reserved roles that always get screwed. It's the more showy roles that are going to get it. You know, like when Bruce Stern was up for Nebraska, that year he was best actor for me. No question. But he had no fucking chance to win because it wasn't a showy role.
Well, how many of these actors, well, why does Rami Malek stand out of all of these other actors?
Because people love Freddie Mercury and they say it's a wonderful approximation
of
him.
Christian Bale, two nominations. Bradley Cooper, two nominations. William Dafoe, three nominations. Viggo, I think about two or three nominations.
At least one. At least one.
Yeah, this is Rami Malek in the Old Boys League.
Yeah.
And plus, fuck Bohemian Rhapsody for basically hiding the fact that Freddie Mercury was gay.
You know, but the thing is, who's going to win?
Honestly, I say Viggo Mortensen because he plays the white man who saves the black person.
I tell you what.
If they're being assholes and political, it's going to be Christian Bale, but I'm sticking with Viggo Mortensen just because he would be a better career Oscar than Christian Bale or William Dafoe.
I'm telling you right now, this is almost a lock. It's Rami Malek.
Okay, write that down.
I guarantee it. Yeah, it's Malek. And it's not Terrence, by the way. But yeah, I think there's no question. Now, Christian Bale, I hear he's absolutely phenomenal in Vice because he plays the character at different ages. And I would say that's going to win for makeup. But it's just like an impersonation. Rami Malek, there are so many people who just love Freddie Mercury, that that's going to take it over the top. I'm sorry, it's going to be Rami Malek.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's get into best animated feature. No, let's go to the short first. Not a feature,
okay.
Yeah. I'll put the worst one last because it's a racist movie no matter what Carl says. Incredibles 2. Why?
Incredibles 2 is a racist movie?
No, the last one was going to be one.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
It is.
Oh, okay.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. Isle of Racist. Sorry, a racist movie with Japanese characters in it. You cannot scrub those or defend those.
Oh, yes, I can.
No, you can't.
But that's okay. Yes,
and sadly, I'm not saying this because I hate the film, but it doesn't have a fucking chance in hell. The only three with a shot is Incredibles 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which, and that's the pony I'm backing, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because it has Spider-Pig.
Okay. Incredibles 2, easy. Easy.
Yeah, but Spider Ham's the only one out. Howard the Duck.
I'm a duck. But if I'm gonna pick the best animated feature out of what I've seen there, it's Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs is just fantastic. And as much as you complain about, it's all these white people playing dogs, three-quarters of the cast.
No, I'm not complaining about that. It's the racist characters that they use of the Japanese people in the movie. With the buck tooth and the circle glasses.
They don't. Have you even seen it? There's one character
I've
like that.
I've seen enough of the visuals of the Japanese people. But anyone who says the dub of America that uses English people is racist because they're English people.
He's an American filmmaker, for crying out loud. He had his people do the dogs.
It don't matter if it's a Japanese filmmaker. Let me finish, Carl. This is your defense. Any anime or any feature using Japanese feature that has been dubbed over here in the past decade goes for the biggest white star of the moment they can't afford because they want box office security.
Exactly.
It's not racism. If we don't make money back on this, we won't get a chance to try to make anything like this again.
Right.
You got to kiss the devil sometimes to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm. It was in my top five films. I love Isle of Dogs. I think it's a great film. I think it's the best film out of them. And you didn't mention one either. There's a one called Mirai, which I know nothing about, so there's no chance.
It's an animated. It's a Japanese anime film, one of those little sweet, short ones.
Okay, but out of everything, Isle of Dogs, I love, but it has. You're right. It has no chance. None. Okay.
Though it would be nice if it or Mirai won, but let's move on. Hello, old friend. We're here to kick the shit out of you again. Guess what?
Best documentary.
Documentary feature. Free Solo. And I would love to see a documentary like it. That's a whole thing about somebody wanting to free all of those poor plastic cups in the Solo factory.
Actually, I thought, you know, Han Solo did get free of the freezing rock that he was
carbon
in. I thought we already went through
that. Hale County this morning, this evening, mining the gap of fathers and sons. I say RBG will win. You know why?
Okay, go ahead.
It's the only one I fucking even know what it's about.
Then it's not going to win.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, Jesus.
No, I know.
I don't even know these motherfucking movies. I've seen these motherfucking movies. I can't find them.
I know. Okay, we'll get to that, okay? But I also agree with you. I'm picking RBG. But, there's something missing, isn't there, Steven?
No, there's one film that's the best documentary of the years and fuck every one of these other movies. It's Would You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary. Best documentary is one that has people crying in the theater while they're watching it.
And it's the largest grossing documentary of all time. It just went over Fahrenheit 9/11, and so it's the biggest grossing documentary of all time. It won so many awards over award season, won Golden Globes, so on and so forth. Not even nominated for Best Documentary. Now, Stephen and I hate this group of people that vote because I don't know how many times there's a film that's a really good documentary that they don't even nominate. And, of course, it started with Hoosiers. Yeah.
Every fucking time since we started, since this fucking podcast thing, we started doing them. Every fucking time, like clockwork.
6 years in a row. Six fucking years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 6 fucking years. I mean, I know they love their pretentious documentaries. There's only been one best documentary winner in the past 20 years that I agree with, and that is Spike Lee's When the Levee Breaks.
Actually, two. Though you don't agree with it because you don't like the filmmaker, but Bowling for Columbine deserved it.
Bowling for Columbine was good. He didn't get in the bullshit territory until Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah. Bowling for Columbine.
Roger and Me is good. Bowling for Columbine is damn good.
Yeah.
And now on to, well, we were talking about Mandy earlier. Here we go with best original score. Black Panther, Ludwig Göransson. Black Klansman, Terrence Blanchard.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm with you.
If Bill's Street could talk, Nicholas Britell,
right.
Isle of Dog, Alexandra D. Splat.
No, D. Plot. Just trust me, D. Plot.
Mary Poppins Returns, Mark Shaman. God damn, there is something missing there, a giant fucking something missing there. Even people who didn't like Mandy, and there was a lot, loved the fucking score.
I agree. And the person that composed it passed away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fact the reason it didn't get nominated is it played 6 days in theaters before it hit VOD, not seven.
Yeah.
24 fucking hours. And
It's bullshit.
How's the score for Isle of Dogs?
That's fucking amazing. It's amazing.
Well,
that's my pick.
Because Black Panthers was okay. It wasn't the best. It was your typical superhero movie song and dance.
Okay, so we're both saying Isle of Dogs. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, and Mary Poppins, Mark Shaiman should have won for fucking South Park years ago. Blame Canada. That's where he should have won. But the score for Mary Poppins, not nearly as good as the original. And everyone complained about the songs not being as good. So no chance there.
And we're on best song right now. First,
okay.
All the Stars, Black Panther, music by Mark Spears, Kendrick Lamar, Duckworth, and Anthony Kiedis.
Okay.
It's your typical. You've seen Black Panther, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
It's your typical superhero end of a movie song. I'm not saying Black Panther isn't a great movie. Hell, in the 70s, it would be in the top tier of the blaxploitation movies.
Oh, without a doubt.
It is that
without
good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll Fight, RBG, music and lyric by Diane Warren.
No,
I thought
trust
she's
me.
Too big. This is the first time I've heard of Diane Warren ever since she mother freaking sung Love Will Bring Us Up Where We Belong from freaking Officer and a Gentleman.
Well, she's written a lot of songs. She's had at least two or three for Oscar noms. She's a writer more than a singer.
Okay. The Place Where Lost Things Go, Mary Poppins Returns. Oh, so all the movies we love are going to be playing in a theater there that didn't get nominated to deserve it.
Right. Okay, there's two more that you haven't mentioned.
Yeah, this one I want to win just because of how much ironic it is. Shallow, From a Star is Born. Is that a song or a comment on the movie? Who knows?
Maybe both, but I can guarantee you that's going to win. That's going to win. No doubt.
This is the one that I think should win. Because I love what's his name? Who was in Oh Brother, We're Out There and played Dimple Guy?
Nelson.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson. It's
Tim
when
Blake
a cowboy
Nelson.
Transfers for wings.
Okay, so that's
Tim Blake
one you're
Nelson
picking?
Going up to heaven while singing his song with a bunch of other singing cowboys.
Nice.
Oh, it's good. That's what I pick when a cowboy traded spurs for wings.
Okay. I'm sure it's a great song. I can't think of the composer's name. But yeah.
David Rawlings and Gillian Welch.
Okay, good. All right. What else do we have?
That's it.
Well, we haven't done Best Picture.
No, I mean the best songs. What's your pick?
Oh, Shallow, without a doubt.
Yeah, because it fits you so perfectly.
Fuck you. Yeah, that's going to win in a heartbeat. Guarantee it.
We did Best Supporting Actress. Now we did Best Actor. Now for Best Actress.
Okay.
Yalitza Aparicio, Roma. Glenn Close, The Wife. Olivia Colman, The Favorite. Lady Gaga, A Star is Born. And Melissa Carthy, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
This is a two-horse race. It is.
Who do you think it is?
It's between Lady Gaga and Olivia Colman. And I'm picking Olivia Colman.
I'm picking Melissa McCarthy. Oh.
Now, I will tell you this. Melissa McCarthy is the dark horse here. She is the dark horse. I like dark horses. Now, I got to say something. She tied history this year because she's up for Best Actress for the Oscars and Worst Actress for the Razzies.
We'll get into those sons of bitches in a moment.
Oh, we will. I know. But I just wanted to point that out.
But, yeah. I'm picking Melissa McCarthy, and you're picking Olivia Colman because you're a blind sheep to the director.
I don't fucking care. Listen, he's a critical darling right now. And everybody's just going ape shit over Olivia Colman. So, you know what? She's going to win.
Yeah. Here's Best Director, Alfonso Cuarón, Roma, Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favorite, Spike Lee, The Black Klansman, Adam McKay, Vice, Powell Pawlowski, Cold War. What the hell is this Cold
okay.
War thing?
That actually is going to win best. That's going to win best foreign film. It looks really beautiful, and it could win for cinematography too. Could win.
Yeah.
And I think it will.
I'll say, as a career award, it's going to go to Spike Lee. I'm playing a career award card.
Okay. Okay. I think the one that this is going to go to is Cuarón, because they want to give Roma something. I don't think Lanthimos probably deserves it. Between Lanthimos and Lee, those are the two big ones. But I think it's going to go to Alfonso Cuarón.
Don't worry about Yorgos. That motherfucker's going to have a lot more bites at the apple.
Oh, listen. He's amazing. He hasn't done a bad film. He hasn't.
Yeah. And here is Best Picture. Black Panther, Kevin Feige, producer. They're making a big deal about this being the first superhero movie ever nominated for...
Mm-hmm.
Best Picture.
Right.
And I'm like, so?
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I love Black Panther, but I guess this is one of those things where I can look at him and go, you're too white to understand this. Sit down.
Yeah.
Black Klansman. Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, Star is Born, and Vice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knocking out, automatically, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Green Book.
Okay.
They didn't get nominated for Best Directors. It's only a
right.
1 in a million fucking shot that you don't, if you're, that you win Best Picture and not get nominated for.
For Best Director. Agreed.
Best Director.
Agreed. Agreed.
And out of the rest, I say... The Favorite, just because they like lesbians.
Well, you know what? I actually think this is a two horse race, and you got the one horse. But it could be Roma, and it could be A Star Is Born. Could be. But I'm going to go with Roma. I think it's going to be Roma, because I think Cuarón is going to win director.
But don't forget Bohemian Rhapsody has won almost all the other Best Picture awards.
No, it only won the Golden Globes. Only won the Globes.
Oh, and there's a big reason why Bohemian Rhapsody did not get nominated for Best Director.
Yeah.
And let's move to corn. Are we going to mention that nastiness or not? Flip, no.
Let's not. If you want to Google Brian Singer and find out what the hell's going on, because it just came out today and it is ugly. Yeah, no way.
Hold on.
No way. Now, one thing I think we ought to go over before we... I think we ought to go over foreign language. We don't have to do picks here in cinematography.
You know, besides our little contest here, this may be one of the blandest, flavorless Oscar runs I've ever fucking seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, foreign language film.
I'm just saying that I would have preferred something more. From him, Dogtooth or The Killing of Sacred Deer, than, hey, I'm going to put Victorian suits and lesbians on there and play it safe and get a hit.
Well, there's something else, too, we ought to talk about, because we didn't mention it during the actress. You've seen Hereditary, correct?
Yeah.
Toni Collette.
No. She doesn't.
She doesn't deserve it? I've read several articles that say she does. Okay, you're not in that camp. But I will say this. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that she's in that she hasn't been good.
That's my point. I've seen her do fucking hell of a lot better than Hereditary.
Yeah, but you know the thing about it is they don't. There's no sense of horror or something like Sorry to Bother You. There's nothing that's pushing an envelope here. Of course, the Oscars don't push an envelope. But, you know, for someone who had a really good critical run in a horror movie and they're not even considered, you know, that just shows you what the Oscars thinks of horror. Because I can guarantee you...
Well, I'm going to make it easy on you. Look how fast did The Silence of the Lambs and Misery stop calling themselves horror films
when they got
their Oscar nods.
Oh, yeah. They're not horror movies. They're psychological thrillers. Yeah.
And Fangoria got a fucking letter. A cease to desist letter from Orion when they listed Hannibal the Cannibal as a horror character and The Silence of the Lambs as a horror film.
Yeah. True.
Horror is the N word of the Oscars.
Oh, I agree. You know, the last horror movie that won anything was The Exorcist.
What is it? Yeah. No, The Silence of the Lambs was the last horror film to win the Best Picture.
Yeah, that's true.
And Sorry to Bother You. You know what it's really its biggest problem is?
What?
It's too black.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the thing about Black Klansman. I don't. You know, I'm not dissing Spike Lee. Spike
Man,
Lee
white feeling.
Is an angry filmmaker. You know, if Beale Street could talk, angry. But Sorry to Bother You takes that anger and, you know, puts it to the fucking stratosphere. It's a dangerous film. See, that's the thing. It's black and dangerous. Green Book?
Yeah.
Black and not dangerous. And white guilt.
You know where I would put Sorry to Bother You with?
What?
The Spook Who Sat by the Door. That level of dangerous.
Movie. Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is best adapted screenplay. Or well, we went through that, best original screenplay. How that doesn't get nominated, I don't fucking know. Seriously.
Well, when the director couldn't get the film distributed in other foreign countries, guess what someone told him?
What? It was too black.
Maybe if you didn't make your movie so black, people would watch it.
Well, you know what? It's a brilliant film. It's my second favorite film of the year. You know, it is that good. And it should be up for an Oscar. Now, let's just talk briefly about two things. And we're not going to vote on them. But best foreign language film, we have five possibilities. We have Roma from Mexico. We have Cold War from Poland. Shoplifters from Japan. Capernaum from Lebanon. And Never Look Away from Germany. Roma, I think, will win. And you know what? You know what? I'm gonna take Roma off my list, and I'm going to say it's going to win the foreign, and I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say the favorite. So I changed. I'm sorry, but I did. But that's a three-horse race between Roma, Cold War, and Shoplifters.
Yeah.
And the cinematography, you have Roma. It looked absolutely gorgeous, black and white. Cold War, also black and white. Never Look Away, the favorite, and The Star Is Born. And I'm going to say, if I was going to pick any, it's going to be Roma or Cold War. I just have this feeling that it's going to be the black
and white. The reason Roma's going to win Best Foreign Picture or Best is that it's a safe film. It's Quran's AmeriCorps.
Yeah, AmeriCorps, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Then, nice call. Well done. Well done.
Even though there's another film that was about a film director's early years that should have fucking been nominated and fucking won, but they didn't.
Okay, which one was that?
Joe Dworsky's The Dance of Reality.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Well, Joe Dworsky's just too weird for them. I like Endless Poetry, too. I really like Endless Poetry.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're throwing the Oscars. It's safe, it's bland. We're going to watch this, one, for our contest, which is going to be more fun than the Oscars, and two, it's the same reason we watch Evel Knievel's son stunts in the 70s, right, Carl?
Right.
You want to see that son of a bitch get fucked the hell up. Maybe you'll get
yep.
broken this time.
Yep. That's exactly why.
And the day before always, we have the Razzies. This year they have gone from being smarky snobs, all in all, just they've crossed over into complete asshole.
Yeah. Well,
they
lost a lot of credit.
I'm afraid to go into.
They've lost a lot of credit over the last 15, 20 years. It used to be fun. We used to have, you know, just be poking at them and not.
really mean, but they've gotten way too fucking mean. Seriously. So we're not gonna we're not going to vote on these, right? We're not
voting on these, right? Because those were on my worst of the year too list, and I'll explain the difference between what I did and what they did. And
okay.
Here we go. Worst picture is Gotti. The Happy Time Murders. Holmes and Watson. Robin Hood and Winchester. I'm sorry. As bad as it is, The Happy Time Murders is less a shit film than an interesting disaster.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Well, again, I have not seen Happy Time Murders. I will say this. I haven't seen it, but it's my most disappointing film of the year because I know what it was supposed to be. And that ain't it. No.
And I've seen Gotti.
Cunt jokes in a goddamn trailer. That's all we fucking need. Never mind.
Yeah. I've seen Gotti. God damn, that one is fucking bad. And Robin Hood is just another Robin Hood movie. Why do they keep making Robin Hood movies when no one goes to see them?
Right, exactly.
And Holmes and Watson got lynching bad reviews. This one got burned bad. And I suspect it's going to win over Gotti, though Gotti is the worst piece of shit I've seen last year.
Yeah,
and
Winchester, by the way.
Another, what?
Ghost story. It's a ghost story with, what's her name? Dame Helen Mirren.
Winchester.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, you did mention that, so I wanted to make sure people knew that it was up there.
Oh, I was about to. Winchester is the biggest waste of a great idea. They had the fucking Winchester murder mystery house to make a movie about, and all of its fucking history.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard would it be to make a movie about the Winchester Mystery House? Hell, you could just make a documentary and it'll be creepy as hell, which has been proven
mm-hmm.
many times before.
Yeah, you make a ghost story and it's not creepy at all. It's boring.
Well, you could have just talked about the history of the house, and that's creepy enough as is, where she's building all these rooms
right.
and go to nowhere.
Right.
But you fuck. Now, here's worst actress. Jennifer Garner and Peppermint. Just imagine Jennifer Garner playing Charles Bronson in Death Wish.
Ooh.
Amanda Seyfried, the Clapper. I haven't even heard of that. Helen
no,
Mirren, Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
Amber Heard, London Fields. And Melissa McCarthy, The Happy Time Murders and Life of the Party, which is just a remake of Back in School.
Well, Melissa's going to win that. Guarantee it. And that's okay.
That's asshole time. Pick one. Fuck you. It's not that goddamn hard. Even if you just got to get a goddamn corner, fuck that son of a bitch. It's not that hard. I mean, let's be honest. How many times have we done that?
A lot.
Yeah.
No, but we usually pick one. You know, the nominator for two movies, that's bullshit.
Yeah. And here we're getting into asshole territory.
Okay.
Hold on, I lost it. God damn it. We're getting into the part where they crossed into full assholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when they just get fucking mean. I mean, just beyond, oh, how funny, just fucking mean.
Right.
Worst actor, Johnny Depp, voice only, Sherlock Gnomes. How
okay.
in the name of fuck can you be a bad actor in an animated fucking movie where you're just fucking talking?
Well, you know, if listen, voice acting's not easy. Okay,
it's not easy, but.
You know, I mean, what they're really saying is that Sherlock Gnomes is a sucky movie. And listen, it's not up for anything, so it's not going to win anyway. They just needed someone to fill out the fucking five. That's what
they Yeah, but that's just being an asshole. And wait, it gets worse.
I know that.
Will Ferrell, Holmes and Watson. These three are expected. Will Ferrell, Holmes and Watson, John Travolta and Gotti, Bruce Willis and Death Wish, and I don't like
Okay,
Donald
everyone,
Trump,
before
like
you say this, let's just make sure that everybody straps in. Make sure you have your safety belt on. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Go ahead, Steven.
Yeah. Donald Trump as himself in Death of a Nation in Fahrenheit 11-9. You cannot, period, can motherfucking cocksucking son of a bitching go to hell and burn not be a bad actor in a fucking documentary. Your whole acting job is sit here and say shit. If you sit in a chair and you say shit, you've done your job.
Well, the thing about this is political. And it gets even worse when you get to the supporting actor and actresses. You know, this is just being an asshole. You know, and you don't like Donald Trump, fine. You don't have to. But he's not an actor. He's not even in 11-9 that much. The Death of a Nation is just total bullshit. Steven D'Souza.
And they're both on my worst films of the year's list. But did I mention Trump or anything? No.
No.
It's the documentaries that are fucking shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fuck you. And out of those three, I would have to pick probably John Travolta and Gotti. God damn, that movie was horrid. Here's worst supporting actor. Jamie Foxx, Robin Hood. Ludacris, voice only, show dogs. Fuck you again. Joe McHale, the Happy Time Murders. John C. Reilly, Holmes and Watson, and Justice Smith, Jurassic Park, Fallen Kingdom. Those choices are so easy targets that I'm falling asleep here just trying to think of something mean to say about them.
Well, you know, I hope John C. Reilly wins because I bet you if he does, he shows up. And the funny thing is, he's in a movie that just came out. Everybody's saying he's great in, and that's Stan and Ollie.
Yeah, I want to see that bad. And that's another one that everyone thought would be on the short list. But no, we got to put in Black Panther.
Yeah. You know, but he's in Stan and Ollie. And you know what? You know, he does the Will Ferrell things with Will, and they thought it was a great idea to do this. Got terrible reviews. But you know what? You know, he's such a good actor, it's just going to roll off him anyway. It doesn't really matter. So, you know, he doesn't really fucking care.
Yeah. And if you weren't strapped in before, get that shit in tight, because we're a best supporting actress.
Yeah.
Kellyanne Conway as herself, Fahrenheit 11-9. Melina Trump as her fucking self, Fahrenheit 11-9. What in the name of fucking princesses, stinky farts were you fucking thinking? Why do you want to pick two things that's just going to make you a fucking target? Will it make you look badass? Do you think it makes you look badass? Do you think it's going to make you look like Dennis Miller at his fucking height? Tell me, will it?
No. It will not. Again, it's just political bullshit. That's what I don't like it because it's all, you know, we hate Trump shit. You know what? I'm not saying you don't hate Trump. But, you know, on something like this, this has no reason for it to be there. You're just doing it to do a middle finger to someone you don't like. And you know what, that? It's fucking petty. It's petty. It's stupid. It's small. It's small.
And you can make it funny. That's the sad part. You can't. You know what, Carl?
What?
I hate Trump so fucking much that I fucking hate him. I mean, I just fucking hate him. I fucking hate him because I fucking hate him, man. I've got no other reason than I just fucking hate him. Did I tell you I fucking hate him?
Steve, take your medicine.
Yeah?
Take your medicine.
See? That's funny. There's a joke there. Not this. They're just going... You're just being assholes. Now for the real meat. Jeff Sinclair and Slender Man, that movie was utter shit. Marcia Gay Harden and 50 Shades 3. Kelly Preston and Gotti. Okay, I let you see the clip of Kelly Preston in the courtroom and Gotti. Tell me. What the fuck was that accent she was using?
I have no fucking clue. Oh, God, it's awful.
Do you agree with me that it was a cross between an Italian mobster's wife and a Jewish yenta?
Yeah, I mean, the Jewish came out really strong. I think it's more Jewish than it is Italian.
Yeah. You're just going to my fucking son. Just take him out back and shoot him in the fucking...
It's bad. It's bad.
It's horrible.
It's bad casting, it's bad acting, it's bad. She wins.
This is what you get when you hire your wife to be in your movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, does it go into worst screenplay or not?
Worst remake, worst director. Yeah, we got worst screenplay.
Okay, cool. We'll get to that.
Okay, worst screen combo. Get ready. You got your anger on?
Oh, go for it.
Any two actors or puppets, especially in those creepy sex scenes, the Happy Time murders.
Well, I have not seen the movie, but I have seen the trailer many times. It's not creepy. It's just bad. It's just bad. You know, I will
say this. It's creepy because it turns them on and they don't admit it.
Right. Well, let me put it this way. If they add a category, the biggest disappointment of the year, it would be the Happy Time movies, because I have been waiting
that new calendar that BU and Doc did.
Yeah. But I've been waiting for that movie for 10 to 12 years. And there was another take on the trailer before it came out with Melissa McCarthy that looked fucking great. And you know, they made it into this comedy, and they made it into, you know, Meet the Feebles Light or whatever you want to call it. And it's just bad. And it's so fucking disappointing. But you know what? isn't creepy. You know what? I'm fucking creepy. Go meet the Feebles. Really? It's not creepy. It's just stupid. It's jizz jokes. That's bottom of the fucking barrel. It's not creepy.
If you want creepy, go watch Let My Puppets Come. And then you'll see a little bit of canine female love that you will not forget.
Yeah, I'll go see gets his dick snuck by a puppet.
Yeah.
It comes right over the puppet, too. Yeah. And we're not talking
Here's the thing with Johnny Depp and his fast-fading film career. He's doing voices for cartoons, for Christ's sake. Sherlock Holmes. Fuck you. That's you, B. That's just being a dick again.
Yeah. Agreed.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, Holmes and Watson, duh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Kelly Preston and John Travolta, Gotti. That winner. Just fucking winner.
Okay.
Oh, and you know those clips I sent you of Gotti, Carl?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you.
And here's, again, Donald J. Trump and his self-perpetuating pettiness. These motherfuckers are calling someone petty.
Yeah, really.
Put that through your mind. They are calling someone petty.
Pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, it's like me and you going outside and calling someone a four-eyed bald motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel? Death of a Nation, remake of Hillary's America. Who gives a shit?
Well, it's the D'Souza shit. It's the D'Souza shit. You know, again, it's kind of mean because that's not a remake. They're both. You know, it's a rehash, if anything. But
yeah.
Okay, I can see
it. Well, you remember, I put all three of those films in my worst of the year list under political bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Death Wish, which I did see. Death Wish is bland and boring. There's nothing in it to get angry about unless you're one of those that are super nervous about guns. It's your generic revenge film from the 80s.
Yep.
Holmes and Watson, of course. The Meg, a ripoff of Jaws. Fuck you. It's not Jawsploitation.
Is it Orcasploitation?
It's by a giant dinosaur-sized shark, but it's not no ripoff of Jaws. That's like saying every motherfucking movie that has a killer shark in it is a ripoff of Jaws, including everything that's been made before Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that true?
Not
come on.
Just no. But yeah. In Robin Hood. Now we're up to worst director. Ethan Coen, Holmes and Watson. Kevin Connolly, Gotti. James Foley, 50 Shades 3. What the fuck is James Foley directing softcore porn?
Because it's the only fucking job he can get, which is a shame.
Brian Henson, The Happy Time Murders. The Spearing Brothers, Winchester. Let's see one. 3 out of 5, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing directing this low-rent shit?
Yeah, James Foley, How the Mighty Have Fallen. Seriously.
Yeah. And here's something you've been waiting for.
Okay.
Worst screenplay.
Okay. Go through it and let me have the last one. You know which one I'm going to say.
Yeah. Death of a Nation, written by Dinesh D'Souza and Bruce Schooley. Why? It's a fucking documentary. Again, we said this. You don't have a script in a documentary. You have bullet fucking points.
Actually, in this case, they do have a script. It's real propaganda. Yeah, but I'm just saying they really do have a script in that. Okay, but go ahead.
50 Shades Free, screenplay by Neal. It's N-I-A-L-L. I don't know how to say it.
Neal Leonard.
From the novel by E.L. James. The Happy Time Murders, screenplay by Todd Berger, story by Berger and D. Austin Robinson. So you know who to punch in the mouth now.
Yeah, exactly.
Winchester, written by Tom Vaughn and the Spirit Brothers. Oh, and there's one left. Have you got out your hanky yet, Carl?
Okay.
Just get it out and get it ready. Okay?
No. Because you know what? Did you notice who the second one is? So,
who? We're
talking about the screenplay for Gotti. Okay? Now, anyone who has listened to me.
Leo Rossi and Lim Dobbs.
Okay, so here we go. Now, anyone who has listened to me over the years and we talk about the 90s action films and we talk about something called Relentless, everyone will know I fucking love Leo Rossi. I adore the man. I think he's wonderful. Okay, and from what I understand from Steven, he acts in this movie and he's really good. But he fucking wrote a horrible script. And he wrote it with Lem Dobbs. Do you know who Lem Dobbs is?
No.
Steven? I'll give you two movies he did the screenplay for. Lem Dobbs did the screenplay for The Limey. For The Fucking Limey, which is one of my favorite films of all time. He also did the movie. He also co-wrote the film, the one about Rupert Everett waking up Dark City. He co-wrote Dark City. Lem fucking Dobbs.
God damn, how the mighty have fallen.
And Leo Rossi wrote the worst fucking screenplay of the year. How dare they? Leo, what have you done? Lem, no! No, I'm destroyed.
It is bad.
Seriously, Lem Dobbs. Fucking Dark City and The Limey. Seriously. Two of the best films of 1999. Beyond belief. And he co-wrote this. What the fuck? Leo!
And
no!
That's it.
No. Oh, God. I can't take it anymore. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, this has been there hasn't been that many horrible movies come out this year, but by God, there was some quality shit.
This is true.
And this is just something I want to ask you. Who do you think's going to get fucked up the ass in the In Memoriam this year at the Oscars?
I know exactly who's going to get fucked over.
Who?
Chuck McCann.
Chuck McCann, yeah, and my boy.
Who's that?
The one from In Cold, Scott Wilson.
They might do Wilson. They might do Wilson. They're not going to do McCann. I can fucking guarantee it.
All I got to say is I've talked to him before while the In Memoriam is going. You guys better be fucking thankful that we're not live on the air during the In Memoriam.
Oh, God. You're so fucking right about that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to have McCann. I doubt they even have Ricky J. They might have Ricky J.
Yeah.
They might.
Oh, you don't know how pissed I was the year Ron O'Neill died and they didn't fucking have him.
Oh, you weren't the only one who was pissed. Are you fucking kidding me? I screamed at him
and
that year.
And they had fucking Tom McLaughlin in the Tom Laughlin in the goddamn In Memoriam.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And another roster's
yeah.
coming up. It's going to be a mess, and the Razzies suck. But at least we got some good news today.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's
what
gay in the United States. Everyone
Yay!
Is, and now we're all equal.
Well,
this
well,
internet
actually,
preacher
this
put out a missive is in the last few months, right, Carl?
Yeah, it's been at least 2 or 3 months.
And he said that, and I quote, if you masturbate, you're having sex with a man and you're gay.
Or, you know, if you're masturbating, you're a woman, you're having sex with a woman because you have a male hand and a female hand. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know
that
what?
Makes no logic.
I'm going to tell you something, Steven. I must be the most gay person on the face of the fucking earth. I'm just
saying. Yeah. We'll just go look up lotion sales. Whoever's bought the most lotion in a year is probably the gayest person in America, according to that guy.
No. Just put the lotion in the basket. Seriously.
And before we go, you guys in the Knoxville area listeners, y'all need to get your ass out to Central Cinema every frickin' Tuesday this month. Every fucking Tuesday. Because they're having, starting on the 1st of next month, because the first weekend is going to be the one, the only Dolomite. And then next, that Tuesday, it's going to be what most people consider the first real black exploitation film, but we fought over that for many times, right, Carl?
Oh, we have.
And that is Melvin Van Peebles' Sweetback's Badass Song. And Carl, how bad do people really need to see that one if they haven't seen it before
They do. It's a real important film to see. Now, one thing I do want to mention, because I think he'll be listening, I have a friend of mine I saw yesterday. His name is Norman Pores, old friend of mine. I've known him for 30-some years. And he's a jazz musician. And so last month, he did a gig for Melvin Van Peebles' birthday. So he actually met the man, and I'm so fucking envious. God damn, Norman. But yeah,
and the week after that, the Tuesday, it's going to be one of the most unique blackfoitation films ever said. And I'm not going to reveal what the uniqueness is about it. It's just one of those things you have to see to believe, right, Carl?
Oh yeah. Oh,
and that will be
doubt.
Welcome Home, Brother Charles.
And
that movie goes all the way over the edge, and that was Jamal Fanaka's first film he made while a film student in USCLA.
USC, not UCLA, USC. And it gleefully goes to the edge and jumps off into the abyss. Seriously.
And strangles you.
I love that movie. Fucking love that movie.
And to close up the Tuesday showings, it's going to be the one, the only, Petey Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law, the high sheriff of hell, which may be Rudy Ray Moore's funniest film ever.
I also think this is his best film.
Yeah.
We actually did a viewing of that. We did a doc.
We tried, but it went shit, remember?
Oh, that's right.
And on that weekend, the last weekend of the month, and the 1st of March, it's going to have Jack Hill's very first film with a certain actress. Who would that be?
That's not actually Jack Hill's first film. Okay?
I said with this
remember,
actress.
Remember, you're Spider Baby. But the actress,
yeah, I said,
of
with
course,
this actress.
It wasn't her
the first film
ever.
Yeah, it's the first film they did together.
Right. Yeah, and it's wonderful. And that would be
And that's Coffee with Pamela Greer. And if you look at the Kung Fu stuff, well, we're also going to have on the Kung Fu Cinema at the first, Inframan, which is a very insane little movie. It's like Shaw Brothers is the same version of what the Power Rangers become, right, Carl?
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're also
bringing up
the 80s classic with one of the best damn bad guys in Kung Fu history, Barry Gordon's The Last Dragon.
Oh, that's... I haven't seen that in years. That would be cool to see on the big screen.
And to finish it out, they're doing a double feature of the films that are hitting Criterion in March, and that is Jackie Chan's Police Story 1 and 2. If you haven't seen Police Story or haven't seen it on the big screen, you need to fucking see that one. And I'm underlining it about 20 times.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen them on the big screen. I've always seen them on HBO. But goddamn, are they insane. God, just unbelievable. Great films.
So
great
if you're
films.
In Knoxville, get your ass to Central Cinema or else you'll just be missing out.
Yeah.
Oh, and
agreed.
On Valentine's Day weekend, they're showing a film called about True Romance.
Oh, with Christian Slater?
Yeah.
No, not Christian Slater and True Romance. That's not what's playing. Come on. Tell the people what's
playing. Yeah, they're
playing
that
on
Valentine's Day weekend.
True Romance? I thought they were going to do Blackula.
No. I was saying I was hoping they'd play Blackula, but they're showing True Romance.
Oh, okay.
Hey, it's still. It's got, still. Take your woman out to a movie where they talk about how funny she was, just a bad motherfucker.
Well, Sonny Chiba is
and
a bad motherfucker.
And what may be the best 5-minute cameo that Gary Oldman ever did in a movie ever.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
Is it Whiteboard Day? I don't think it's Whiteboard Day.
Yeah.
And of course, Christopher Walken and Dennis fucking Hopper.
Yeah.
Enough said. You know, honestly, that should have been the script that Tarantino got. Tarantino should have won best script for that one, honestly.
Well, wasn't that he actually didn't he like wipe his hands for that movie? I know he wiped his hands of Mickey and Mallory. I know that one he wiped his hands from.
Yeah. No, he wrote the script and then Tony Scott wrote it, got it, and rewrote it
right,
a tiny
right.
bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't like the rewrite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right.
What I'm saying. He didn't like the rewrite. Yeah.
And thank you for being on, and I hope you enjoyed the Oscar special. And remember, we're going to bring this up after the Oscars have got off. And the first 10 people to get in touch with me, I will send you a copy of the new Wings Chop book if Carl kicks my ass. That's the name of the contest.
Definitely, I'm going
if
to.
Carl kicks my ass.
I'm going to kick his ass. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm going to win.
Yeah, I think you're going to kick my ass this year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And okay. Now, let's say goodnight.
Good night. Thanks, Stephen, for having me on.
No problem. Don't kick my ass.
Oh, okay, I won't. Not until later.
Bye.